Welcome to Overflow, an Osage Hills podcast, where we explore the parts of Sunday's sermon that didn't make it to the platform, dive into upcoming events, and unpack why we do what we do as a church. This week, Nate, Mark, and Adam are unpacking last Sunday's message from Galatians. We're talking about what it means to keep in step with the Spirit, how to bear one another's burdens, and so much more. Stick around as we explore these powerful truths and how they apply to our daily lives. Let's get into it.
We're on.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. So this week we finished up our series on keeping in step with the Spirit. So if you're tuning in, this is our second episode, second podcast ever.
Sorry, fanfare.
But we finished up a series in the process, though. So you should go back and watch those messages that were part of this series to gain a better perspective, because we're kind of hitting the different things that we weren't able to hit in the sermon. So along with kind of expanding on some, because time kind of limits what we do. But before we get going in that direction, a couple things we want to highlight. My name's Nate. I'm the lead pastor at Osage Hills Christian Church, and I have Mark, our associate and worship pastor here, and also Adam, our next-gen pastor. We're going to be talking about a couple different things that we have coming up on our calendar that we really want you to be a part of. And so Mark covered this last week, I think, brief kind of recap. We have Starting Point coming this weekend.
Starting Point is this Sunday, February the 2nd. And it's right after service. We'll feed you, and childcare is provided. And this is an opportunity for you to get acquainted with the vision and mission of Osage Hills, to connect Christ to where we live, and also to equip you with tools that will move you forward, if you use them, to becoming a fully committed follower of Jesus. And so it's a great 1 hour opportunity for anybody. You don't have to be a brand new person. Anybody who is interested in advancing their faith and their walk with Christ, this is definitely something to be a part of.
Yeah. Real excited about it. And we also, so essentially it's not too late to register. Just want you to register so that we know how much food to have. That just really kind of helps. But our food is good. It tastes good. We look forward to eating it. Yeah. And we eat it even if no one comes. So.
But there are people already registered.
There are people registered. So
it is happening.
Which is good. Yep. And we meet in the coffee room.
Yeah.
So if you're curious on where to go, there will be people around who can kind of help direct you. But we also have something else coming up for kids. Adam, why don't you share what the big event is?
Yeah, on February 12th, we are going to have the big event, and that is really for our families, for our Osage kids. So that's birth through sixth grade, but, you know, honestly, all families are welcome. What we're going to do is we're just have a time to be together and to worship. There'll be a lesson for the kids. We always have a fun game and a craft. But it's one of the things that we really want to focus on, the family being a part of the church together and worshiping together. And it's just, you know, not to go too deep into it, but, you know, kind of the way that our modern church is set up is grown-ups have grown-up church and kids have kids church. And this is an opportunity to still have our respective spaces, but to be very intentional to come together on a special night every month and spend time together and worship together. So, like I said, February 12th, 6 to 7:30, we'll have the registration up for that as well. But come, if you're a family here at Osage Hills, if you're hearing this and you're near Osage Hills, or you're not, you know, fly in. Come, we'll have a spot for you. But we would love to see you all on the 12th, February 12th.
And dinner, you said this, I think, dinner's provided too.
I didn't say that, but okay, yes, is. Okay. Yes, food is provided. Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't have to worry about dinner that night. But no, it's a lot of fun. It's fun. And it's family oriented. That's kind of the goal. So All right. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
And if you have any questions about the stuff that we're talking about today, you can send them to us at questions@osagehills.com.
Hey, Nate.
Yeah.
If I had a question about sermon or just stuff going on at the church, where would be a good place for me to send an email to?
Questions@osagehills.com.
It's just so simple.
It is simple. That's the kind of the idea. Now, it is questions plural.
Oh, there is an S.
So if I just have one question, separate email.
So if you have one question, you still send it to questions.
Okay.
Yeah, we assume your question is really plural anyway. Mm. So
two episodes in, and this is where we've gone thus far.
Yeah. Great. So it's a very easy thing to remember. So that, you know, it was designed that way so that to make it real. Really helpful to you. So let's move into Galatians chapter 6. As we kind of wrap up this particular series, I want to open up with Galatians 6, 1 through 10. I want to read this again so that we have some context. But again, remember, this kind of began a few verses before in Galatians 5, 25 through 26, where it tells us, that if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And all this should be seen through the lens of being free, because it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. So keep that in mind as we read this passage here. It says, brothers, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted. And this is kind of one of the things that we're going to highlight here. Is it says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And he continues, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each one will have to bear his own load. Okay, I'm gonna pause right there because, and we went over a lot in the sermon on Sunday, and I think it'd probably be best to just advise you without really doing a lot of exegesis on the verses there. We're gonna kind of hit the things, like I said, the things that I was not able to cover in the message very, very deeply. One being this one. Paul tells us to bear one another's burdens, and then he says each one will have to bear his own load, which can be kind of confusing. But here's the thing. So here's, I think, what Paul is trying to get our attention at. Fulfilling the law of Christ looks like loving people. And he says it in chapter 5. You fulfill the law of Christ when you love your neighbor as yourself. And so it makes it very, very clear. There's an expectation for those who are in the community of Christ to help one another, to be there for one another and bear one another's burdens. But then when it gets down to where you'll have to bear your own load, there's a context there that begins in verse 3. The moment we begin bearing one another's burdens, it could be that we enter into a situation thinking that we have the answers, thinking that we know how to help. It's because he tells us, you who are spiritual should restore them. And we can forget the latter part of that sentence, which is in a spirit of gentleness, letting the Spirit work through you so that you operate and produce the fruit of gentleness, which is the evidence of the Spirit working through you. And that's the context for everything else. If you think you're something and you're not realizing that you needed Jesus just as much as this other person did, then you're deceiving yourself. You need to enter these situations humbly, but then also test your own work, because the boasting that he's talking about is that self-reflection, recognizing what Christ has done in you rather than what you've done to yourself, because you did not make yourself spiritual. It's all the work of the Spirit in you. And then he says, you're responsible. Your self-reflection is you realize that you're ultimately responsible for how you handle this situation. And so it's a very, and this is what I think he's getting at. It should be a terrifying thing to help somebody else in that. And here's why. You have the power and ability to destroy them if you are going in there with a spirit of pride. Mm. But you have an incredible opportunity to watch the spirit work and to watch God do a defining thing in their life when you let the spirit be the one who is guiding you as you're helping them. So in using the word terrifying, it should, what I mean by that is that it's a very humbling experience. It should never be anything else. It should be completely motivated in humility.
I think another perspective of this is Paul is telling the Christians in Galatia to bear each other's burdens, but at the same time recognizing that everybody bears their own load.
Right.
And I think it's important that he uses different words there. Mm-hmm. Burden and load are not the same thing, even though they are very similar, because everybody has stuff that they're carrying around in their daily, you know, life, work issues, marital issues, kid issues, and it's not that those are bad things, right? Like, so when I say issue, it's not like, you know, your marriage is on the rocks. It's like, no, marriage is tough sometimes.
Right.
Kids
right,
are tough sometimes. Right. You know, working for Nate is tough sometimes.
I mean, amen.
Just kidding.
Just kidding, everyone.
He's great.
He pays us to say that. Sorry.
But I think that's very relatable. Everyone right. has the things that they are carrying with them, their responsibilities that they have to take care of. But there are other times, seasons, where there are external factors that come in that are not normal. You know, the death of someone that you loved, you got laid off. So your job's not hard anymore because you don't have
Because it's not there, right.
But the burden of, well, how do I support my family now? Or, you know, everyone can kind of relate to those. So I think that there is a little bit of intentionality there to say the role of loving people like Christ is stepping into those messy areas that, yes, there's danger there, but it's also an expectation of the Christ follower.
Absolutely.
To come in and say, you know, Adam, man, I heard what happened and what can I do? Mm-hmm. How can I help? Mm-hmm. But that's different than you have a responsibility to work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
Yeah.
That's not each other's job to work out your salvation.
Right.
It's your job.
Right.
That is your responsibility. And so I think he's making that distinction there.
There's a healthy tension, because just as much as it is an uncomfortable thing to move in and to help carry someone else's burden or bear one another's someone, because we want to keep it to ourselves.
Yeah. Sure.
We don't want to go help anybody else. And then it's their business. It's not my business. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, this is telling us that it is your business.
Yeah.
But your business is still your business.
Right.
Nothing really changes as far as that. It's still relating to you. Mm-hmm. But here's the weird thing is that their business actually is your business. Mm-hmm. And that is a burden that you're supposed to bear. Mm-hmm. So there is a unique call in the life of a believer to help one another and to actually take that responsibility head on when we recognize or when we catch someone tripping. Mm-hmm. And we can't not say something, but how we say something and how we enter that situation truly matters, because it needs to fulfill the law of Christ, not damage the body.
Sure.
So, and that takes some serious, I think, self-reflection, some serious weighing how, before you blurt anything out of your mouth, really thinking about how you're going to approach something, which it moves us into that second part where he says, hey, you know, you should share what you're being taught, and whatever you sow, you're going to reap. But did you have anything you wanted to add to that, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, just adding to the difference of, you know, what is my burden and what is somebody else's burden and what is my load? I think, you know, when you talk through catching someone tripping, right? Mm-hmm. Or that.
Which I think specifically that what that is what he's talking about.
Sure. And so I think like many things, like we talked about last week and we'll talk about a lot, it's really a heart posture, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, and so yeah, I made a face when you said it should be terrifying to help someone. But, you know, talking through it, like you'd better make sure your heart posture is in the right spot.
Right.
Because with all of the good that is there and that we would all say, man, I want to love someone like that, right? I want to be there and to help them and to push them forward to Christ. You know, it because we're humans, it's very easy for our heart posture to slip. And I think that going into any situation like that where you're helping someone kind of regain their footing, mm-hmm. Your heart just has to be in the right spot.
Yeah, absolutely. And so and it's so. It's also so weird, like what you were saying, Mark, really to kind of merge what you guys are talking about. The correct heart posture is not to ignore the situation, but to do something about it. Mm-hmm. And that's where we could get so I really tread carefully about saying that word. I had to just really think about
sure.
it. Terrifying. It can go one of two ways. Either we move toward it or we run away from it because it is terrifying.
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, it's terrifying. You're engaging on the front lines of the spiritual battle. Someone, I mean, now's the time to go and bust down the gates of hell.
Right.
And that's what we're invited into. So, yeah, great thoughts. The second thing that I really wasn't able to get into was actually in verse 7, where it says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap." Now, uniquely, in this section, there's kind of a mirroring effect going on where there's bear the burden, but also there's the deception part. Verse 3 and verse 7 kind of mirror each other, and I think we're meant to contemplate that. You can deceive yourself, but you cannot deceive God. Mm-hmm. You can pull the wool over your own eyes, but you cannot pull the wool over God's eyes. And he can tell what's going on in your heart, you know, as you were saying, when you're going to help somebody, and maybe you can't. So there's a possibility where you could not know your reason for engaging. And it makes it even more careful. We have to tread very carefully to make sure that we are sowing to the spirit rather than to the flesh.
Because we're so easily deceived by ourselves.
Totally.
I mean, like, think of how many times you can talk yourself in, and really it's justification, right? Think of how many times you can justify, you know, oh, I'm gonna help this person because I just am so virtuous and I want to help them out. But like, honestly, I would imagine we've all had situations wherein, like, if we got down to it, just like, cause you think you know better.
Yeah.
But there's that tendency in human nature to say, oh, I know better, but I only know better for the good of the person and all these things. And so it's very, we can deceive ourselves really easily. Mm-hmm. Like, I can convince myself that the entire sleeve of Oreos that I ate has no calories. That does not make that true. Right.
Yeah.
I think for me, I it's not really been much of a struggle of helping because I think I know better than them. I think for me, it is I want to make sure that I'm living up to the standard that I have falsely put on myself,
yep.
Which Paul talks about in other places. But this idea that, well, I am a Christian, and to love people, that means I have to do things and I have to work, like works, work out your salvation.
Yeah.
You know, so there's this underlying concept of Christianity and following Jesus that says, whether you know better or not, you better get out there and help them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what Christ.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
All right.
And so, which again is not the right heart posture, because, you know, when you're walking in step with the Spirit, it's like what Jesus says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You just do this and right. it becomes second nature to you. Don't think about it at all. Just right. jump into the mess and trust that the Spirit is going to be there with you and guide you and be okay being messy.
Yeah, because if we can get to that point where we are just jumping in, you know, going into it, and there's almost this freedom in knowing, like, I'm not going to have everything together.
Yeah.
But if I am earnest, and if I can check my heart and I can check my intention, and I can say, God, I don't know how to do this. Mm. Come with me. Mm-hmm. You know, anytime the word goes out, it never returns void. Right. Mm-hmm. It always changes mm-hmm. the person, the experience, the situation. And so being able to enter in with that freedom of saying, I don't have it together. I'm not doing this because I have to complete a work, but I'm doing this because I know that you're going to be in here with me, Holy Spirit. Then, I mean, if we can get to that spot, then only good comes from that. I mean, even if we mess it up, yeah. God will use things that are messed up to bring something right. beautiful, right?
Well, and it speaks to what the power of the Spirit can do in and through you rather than what you think you know yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things it's one of the things that I struggle with. There could be a lot of, I don't know, stored up knowledge or understanding that can very easily set a teacher up in a place above people, because there's an answer, you know, and it's really navigating those kinds of things. To ensure that, hey, look, this is about keeping in step with the Spirit myself first. Am I moving toward the freedom of Christ, or am I moving toward the things that I really think need to be done? It's, again, you know, I think this entire passage here is really telling us, be careful. I mean, my goodness, just be careful.
So when because you keep saying that, and I don't think you're wrong. But for me, it rather than be careful, just be hyper vigilant. Be disciplined.
Well, that's a better way of saying it.
Intentional.
Be intentional.
Yes. Yeah, there is an intentionality a part of it.
Because we can go through all this stuff as Christians without a lick of intentionality.
Oh, yeah.
Just going through the motions. And so
maybe that's a better way of putting it.
Yeah, just being very intentional, being very diligent and disciplined. Because especially in Western Christianity, it's so easy to not be intentional mm-hmm. and not be disciplined. Mm-hmm. I mean, my goodness, the amount of biblical disciplines that are not present in Western Christianity is staggering. So that may be a podcast for another time.
Yeah.
But
well, and I can see what you're saying by using the term "be careful." It's easy to use "be careful" as a way to disclude yourself, mm-hmm. To isolate mm-hmm. yourself mm-hmm. from being involved. I think be intentional. Keep a weather eye. Mm-hmm. You know, something that just says
Be in control. Of
Look for it. Yeah. Be let it be something you're looking for, aware of, moving toward. On purpose, mm-hmm. because this is the way that God is leading us.
Right.
I think that's great.
I think it's a good distinction, because if I'm careful, I can talk myself out of action.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But if I'm intentional, when the opportunity comes, I'm intentionally ready to act. I'm not necessarily concerned about being careful, mm-hmm. yeah. because I'm intentionally looking for opportunities. And so when they present themselves, I've already predetermined that I'm going to go do the thing.
Well, and you know, that kind of speaks to verse 10, which is that as we have the opportunity, let us do good. And we can look at it as we have the opportunity as a complete passive situation where I can then choose. In an American culture, we're consumer minded. The fact that I have choices means I don't have to make one. Mm-hmm. But the God of the universe gives you a choice, meaning that you have to make one. Right. And he expects you to do so. And he expects you to fall in line with his Spirit, not go in a different direction, especially as a believer in Jesus. And he tells us, and also especially to the household of faith. So there's this concept of following Christ that mandates that we take the opportunity when it comes, jump at the opportunity, look for the opportunity, be proactive toward the opportunity. But also this there's a slight passive thing where it is the Spirit working and just knowing that's the Spirit working over there or right there that I need to get involved with. Mm-hmm. And shame on us for ever thinking that the Spirit's not working, you know,
that's good.
To say that, well, there's no opportunity for me, you know, and I wanted to kind of bring this in too, is like we last year, our big push, and we're not stopping pushing this, is doing what we're doing based off the one, or we're looking for the one. There's this huge amount of intentionality with the church where we cannot say that God is not moving in our city, because he is. We cannot say that there is somebody in our life who there is nobody in our life. Let me rephrase it. Yeah. There's nobody in our life who is not struggling with, who is struggling with God, or who doesn't have a relationship with, or something. There's nothing like that. Somebody's struggling. Somebody's going through it. Somebody needs Jesus. And really, we've gotten so, I think, and this is the case in my life too, I've gotten so used to the way that I'm living that there are places in my life where I've gotten out of step with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And what Paul is telling us, we need to get back in, and we need to recognize then that what we're sowing to is determining what kind of fruit we're producing. Mm-hmm. And that's very, very critical. And Adam pointed out a great point. I might not have defined what sow means Sunday, which it is the way of casting seed in the ancient Near East. You would sow seed into the ground. And here you are that ground, or the Spirit of God is that ground. And where you, what is it that you are really making sure that you nurture so that growth happens? Is it the growing of your flesh, your desires for yourself, or is it the Spirit's work in your life? Mm-hmm. You know, so anyway, I said a lot there, but
it's true.
But there's one more thing that I want to cover here. So thanks guys for that.
You're welcome.
It's really verse 9. You're so polite today.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome.
Oh, again.
Verse 9.
It says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up."
Yeah.
Man, this was such a powerful verse. And time did not let me get into it very deeply on Sunday because, and like naturally, everything at the end kind of gets compacted a little bit more because there's so much in there. But this Greek word that's been translated grow weary of for us, it is the word enkakomen. And it also means let us not become discouraged when we do good. Right. And actually the sentence is kind of flopped where the emphasis is on good that we do. It's do good and don't become discouraged.
Right.
And do not get discouraged or grow tired. This I, because I think it's that feeling that we have where I'm just not getting it. Nothing's happening, or I keep trying and I keep failing. And this could be on the side of you bringing restoration to somebody, or if you are the person who is receiving the restoration,
right?
You're like, I keep trying to sow to the Spirit, but I'm not. I keep trying to keep in step with the Spirit, but I keep tripping. This whole idea is don't become discouraged. Don't get tired of it. Don't give up.
All right.
Keep going. Yeah. Well, why? Because when it's time, you will see the fruit. When it's time. So I was looking at this theologian. He says this temporal note, which is in due time, emphasizes the certainty of the fulfillment. So it's not that it might happen. It's that it will happen.
Right.
We are not the ones who measure the time. It is definitely based off the Holy Spirit, who is orchestrating things in someone's life to bring them into relationship with God, mm-hmm. which I find truly incredible. So,
yeah, and I think for a lot of people, what is true is you are walking in step with the Spirit and you are doing good, and you find yourself in these seasons where you've done good and you've done good and you've done good and you've done good. And then all of a sudden that selfish consumer mindset creeps in.
Yep.
And it's, well, where is the good for me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing all this good for all these other people in my life. Mm-hmm. Why has God abandoned me?
Yeah.
Why am I alone here? Why don't I see any return?
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think that might be part of what Paul is conveying here, that you are doing good and you're sowing in the Spirit and you will see a return. And this might be a little bit of a stretch of an illustration, but bear with me. See, bear my burdens, boys. Some people are kind of hit and miss on the Chosen series.
Yeah.
But there was a scene that popped in my head as we were talking about this, where little Peter with the bum leg is getting really discouraged with Jesus healing all these people. And he's like, man, I'm one of your disciples, bro. Like, what is that? That's messed up. Like, if anything, I should get healed, right? Like, come on. And there's this really powerful moment where Jesus just looks at him and is like, do you not trust that you one day will be?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In due time doesn't necessarily mean here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily mean you.
And that's a hard truth.
Yeah.
It's a hard truth. Yeah.
I mean, how many parents want to see their kids come to Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's one of those, maybe you're not the one who's supposed to reach him.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
And that's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. But at the same time, man, if God can do amazing, miraculous things, it's whether or not we are willing to align ourselves with the Spirit's leading. And there could be a massive amount of orchestrated events that God is doing so that it's not just you and them.
Yeah.
It's 10 other people involved in the process.
Yeah, you've unknowingly set me up for a next gen softball. So I'm going to go ahead and hit this one out of the park. I mean, what you're saying is so spot on. You know, one of the things that is so important to me as a next gen pastor and for students and kids is this idea of, like, as parents, we are absolutely the most important influence, and we are responsible for discipling and influencing our children as they go to Christ, as they grow toward Christ. We are the most important influence, right? Make that very clear, big letters, make it the title of the episode. Not really. We are the most important influence, but we cannot be the only influence.
Right.
We can't be.
Right.
Because you said, it's heartbreaking, and it is. If I so desperately want to see my child come to a relationship with Christ, there's this selfishness in me. And it's, we would even say it's positive selfishness and saying, oh, I want to help them. Parent, yes, you want to help your child. That's amazing. You might not be the person. Mm-hmm. You might not be. And that's why we can take it all the way back. We have to bear each other's burdens. Mm-hmm. We have to own our responsibility for what God has given us in our lives and carry our own load.
Right.
But we have to bear each other's burdens.
Right.
Because God will use anyone of any person that is involved in your life, in your child's life, to any one of us can be that person to help your child, your student find that relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
So we have to be the main influence. We cannot be the only influence. That's a especially true for kids and for students.
Right.
But really, it's a truth that's universal.
Yeah. And it just reminds me of Jesus and Peter and John after they go fishing after his resurrection. And I think Paul is calling us to do the same kind of thing. We might look around and look, hey, what about this guy? What about him? You know? And Jesus, I mean, he looks straight at Peter and he says, who cares if I let him live until I return again? You follow me. Mm-hmm. The same kind of call from Paul right here. Your responsibility is to keep in step with the Spirit yourself. And what counts is a new creation. And the question is, are you in the new creation yourself? Are you in it? Because I think we could also spend a lot of time worrying about everybody else and neglecting our relationship with God ourselves.
Yeah.
So, and you mentioned the stuff on discouragement. There's an Old Testament story about this prophet named Elijah who went through some serious levels of discouragement. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm the only guy left. And God's like, no, you're not.
Come on, bro.
Just not true.
I've got hundreds of other prophets.
He's hiding in a cave right now. Yeah, he's still alive.
Yeah. It's like, you know, sometimes, you know, when we're looking at our situations, we can become so distracted by what's in front of us that we miss the larger picture of what God can be doing.
Right.
And so it becomes one of those, we don't see what's happening under the soil. We don't see everything that God is doing, but we keep in step with the Spirit and trust that he's doing something because he is, and that it will certainly be fulfilled, whatever it is, in due time. The master of time, the owner of time, God himself is capable of doing what is necessary, even though most of the time we want to control it ourselves. So let that be our challenge to ourselves. Make sure on a personal level that you are keeping in step with the Spirit. You are focusing on yourself, keeping in step with the Spirit. And even earlier, he's telling us the same thing. Test your own work. Test your own work, verse 4. Then you'll have reason to boast in yourself alone. Not because you're capable, because of what Christ is doing in you and not in your neighbor because of something that you're doing to them. Right. So, yeah. Any other thoughts or?
Nope.
Good. I'll add, if you're listening to this, because we know some of you are, send us your questions. What do you want to talk about? We have fun doing this. We would love to hear what you would want to hear.
Yeah. If you have any questions about the sermon, go ahead and send those in. We record these on Tuesdays, so after you're there at service on Sunday, you'll need to do it very quickly.
And what's the email again?
It's questions@osagehills.com.
Questions@osagehills.com. All right, we're 7 minutes over time.
The dramaticness. All right, cool. We'll see you guys.